great, and he's greatly to be praised. Come on, clap until you feel it. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. As you're standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being present and participatory in this place. We thank you for being God. You're above all and all is beneath you. You look upon us with grace and mercies. And we thank you, Father, that we're in your hand and nothing and no one can pluck us out. We are eternally saved. We are eternally kept by you. So, Father, we praise and worship you. Because if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we'd be. Lord, but because of you, we are here, clothed and in our right minds. We're worshiping you and praising you. Because you alone deserve all the glory and all the praise. And we woke up early this morning to give it to you because, Lord, your son got up early, resurrection morning. He's the testator who died to will us salvation. He got up Sunday morning to make sure salvation is ours. Lord, we pray that you be a God in the midst of us. Lord, as I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Lord, we need a word. We need a word from you because your word is a foundation that's sure. Lord, the wind is blowing and the rain is descending and is beating upon us. But Lord, we're still here because of your word. Power of your word. Speak, Lord. Send it as you send rain and snow from heaven to watereth the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Send your word, Father, that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Send it, Lord, to confront, convict, to convert us from our ways, that we'll be less like self and more like Christ. Have your way in us and through us. And Father, we dare not close this prayer without asking for forgiveness. Forgive us of sin, of omission, sin of commission. Sin of our head, hand, and heart. Forgive us of all our sins. Lord, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. Send us with your message as we go hither and thither. Lord, that you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, once again, bless his name. Bless him again. And again, because he keeps on blessing us. What a joy it is to be alive, alert, and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank God for all of you. Early this morning, we woke up with him. Amen. Amen. We woke up with him. Amen. We beat the light up. Amen. We were here before the break of day. Amen. And I think God has a special blessing for us as we have pressed our way and pushed our way into his presence. You know, I know you got up about 4 this morning. got your coffee, your donut, and you're here. Amen. And you woke up with Jesus on your mind. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Thank God for these deacon brethren and trustees who have devoted us. Thank God for the choir who have sang so melodiously. Bless. And thank God for Pastor Emeritus Walker, these associates. Thank God for the ushers, the security, environmental safety team, media ministry. Thank God for the kitchen committee. Right after service, we'll have a breakfast. And so you are to go to the Life Center to eat breakfast. Amen. And then you can go home and relax and think on the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Look at someone, if you will, and say, reaching out with the resurrection message. Look at another and say, reaching out with the resurrection message. Help me shout at the virtual audience. Reaching out with the resurrection message.
Reaching out with the resurrection message.
Amen.
Amen.
You got something to run and tell. You don't have a right to be quiet, to be silent, to be hushed. Because you have a message to tell. For Christians, Easter or Resurrection Sunday is one of the most celebrated days of the year. Resurrection Sunday is a day every blood-bought child of God rejoices because of the life they have received through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection Sunday is the Sunday morning we should really sing, because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I want to do something a little different this morning. I want y'all to help me preach by standing and help me sing in just that one stanza. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on, let me hear you. All fear is gone because I know he holds my future. Come on, let me
because
he is. Should really be able to say, because he lived. The fact that Jesus has risen from the dead indicates that death has been conquered and the atonement has been accomplished. Jesus rose from the dead to give us victory over death and to bring us into harmony and peace with God. All brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus Christ illustrates the immense power of God. The Bible says God raised Jesus from the dead. And to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to believe in the power of God. God has power to raise the dead. God has raised the dead in raising his son. And we believe that when we die, God has the power to raise us from the dead. God is worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our worship because he has power to remove the sting of death, which gives us the victory over the grave. So Jesus Christ, he rose. He rose to reveal to us, to illustrate to us that he is the power of God that overcomes death. So the message of his resurrection is the message of the church. It is the message that brings salvation to all who will believe in it. And he tells us to run with the message. If you want your kinfolk to live, if you want your friends to live, if you want your co-workers to live, if you want people you're in your neighborhood to live, you need to run with the message of Jesus Christ, in that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This morning, as we examine the first Easter morning, let us consider the message we must tell. First of all, it is a message of salvation. The message of salvation must be shared with all people. It is a message of salvation. The message of salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is he's alive and well, that he's not dead. Verses 46 through 47 says, "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In sharing the message of salvation, we must reveal that Jesus Christ came as he was proclaimed in the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. Jesus is the last Adam, the seed of the woman, the first fruit of the new creation, the obedient son, the one whose blood speaks a better word than Abel's, the mighty ark that delivers from judgment, the offspring of Abraham to bless the nations, the fountain of living water greater than Jacob's well, the mediator of a new covenant that surpasses all previous ones, the redeemer who leads the greatest exodus, the bread that satisfies more than manna, the sacrifice that puts an end to all others, the prophet who says what God says, the suffering servant who bears our transgressions, the high priest who lives forever, the king who rules righteously and wisely, the temple where the fulfillment of God dwells, the good shepherd who guides and guards the sheep, the light that dispels the shadows of darkness, and the life that swallows death. We have to preach Jesus Christ as he was proclaimed in the Old Testament. We must not only preach him and share him and witness of him as he was proclaimed in the Old Testament, but we must present Jesus as the suffering servant. It is Isaiah who said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We must proclaim him as he was proclaimed in the Old Testament. And in sharing the message of salvation, not only must we proclaim him as he was proclaimed in the Old Testament, but we must proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 46 says, "It behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day." So the apostles were commanded to preach his death, his burial, his resurrection. And brothers and sisters, we live in a day when the message of the church is being changed. Churches, associations, denominations are moving away from the message of salvation through the bloody cross of Jesus Christ. And they are moving toward a message of salvation through social activism and good works. If they want to leave the cross off and leave the cross out because they feel that the cross is too brutal, too harsh of a story to tell. But let me pause and say to you, a crossless message is a powerless and hopeless message. Let me say that again. A crossless message is a powerless and hopeless message. For Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jews to the Jews, then to the Greeks." We must go everywhere and to everybody with the message of Jesus Christ, telling how Jesus suffered and why he suffered on the cross of Calvary. who took our place. It should have been us. Sin has a cost. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It should have been us hanging on that cross. But instead of us, it was Jesus Christ. What did he suffer? He suffered temptation of every kind. He suffered rejection. He suffered pain. He suffered afflictions. He suffered the weight of the cross. He suffered death and his lifeless body being placed in a grave. He suffered. Why he suffered? Jesus suffered for us. Help me preach. Look at somebody and say, he suffered for us. Come on, look at someone else that's willing to talk back at you and say, he suffered for us. Oh, yes, he did. Come on, now look back at the person you said it to at the first and say, he suffered for us. He suffered for us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, for even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. But by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. He says, by his stripes we are healed in relationship with God. We are healed in fellowship with God. We are healed in spending time with God, in our prayer life with God. We are healed in our worship with God. We are healed in our praise unto God. He says, by his stripes, we're healed. That Christ died for us. He suffered and died to deliver us from the present evil and to redeem us. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. He showed himself to many people after he rose the third day. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 through 8 says, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died, and he died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. He died for us, and we have to run with the resurrected message, the message of his resurrection. But not only do we preach it, but we have to preach it to pardon sin. The message of repentance and remission of all nations that the apostles were commanded to preach, forgiveness of sins through the shedding of blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. It is Hebrews 9:22 that says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. You ought to thank God that he shed his blood. His blood wasn't spilled. His blood was shed. Which means he gave it up himself. He voluntarily laid down his life. For Jesus says, no man take my life, but I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down, then I have the power also to take it up again. Hallelujah. He laid down his life. So we have to preach the message of resurrection. But then there's a promise of power, and I'm finished. Verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. See, without the aid of the Holy Spirit, our preaching will be weak, and without power of conversion. But hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. Glory for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He is the power of God that goes alongside the preacher to convict the heart, to convert the soul unto God for salvation. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. The promise of power was made by God, spoken through Isaiah and Joel. Isaiah said in Isaiah 44:3, when the Lord Jesus, who come from above, he would pour his divine grace upon the thirsty and his spirit upon the people. This promise is not only made to Israel after the flesh, but this promise is made to Israel after the spirit. Oh, he gives this same promise to us. Joel 2:28-29 say, and it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. He expresses this pouring out of spirit. It implies the bestowal of the spirit in a great abundance. That he doesn't just give you a snippet, but he gives the spirit more than you can handle. Oh, I wish I had a witness. The spirit was not poured out in abundance under the law, but he would pour it out from the time when Jesus was manifest. And after Jesus, the spirit would be poured out plentifully upon all flesh, all men. Thank God for the Spirit. The Spirit would be poured out without national distinction. In other words, not just to the Jews, but to the Jews and Gentiles. It would be poured out without social distinction. It doesn't matter if you are bond or free. It will be poured out without sexual distinction. You can be male or female. Without ceremonial distinction, circumcised or uncircumcised, without intellectual or educational distinction, barbarian or Scythian. He says the fulfillment of the promise is to all who accepts Jesus. But he gives us the power, the spirit, for a purpose. He gives it to a purpose. He gives it so that we'll speak under the Spirit's influence. None of us have power to change life. But God gives us supernatural power. A power above any of our own power. A power that's greater than black power. That's greater than white power. That's greater than red power. That's greater than gunpowder. It's a power that's greater than anything human or humanity knows. It's a power that has the ability to not only look at a heart, but change a heart. Oh, he gives us power. That's why we're here to celebrate this morning. We're here to celebrate because Jesus said that it is a must that I go. I have to die. I have to be buried. I got to get up. But I got to go back to the Father. Somebody knows that he did die. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He hung around for 40 days. But after 40 days, he ascended. And when he ascended, he said, I'm sending you another comforter. Thank God for the comforter. I'm sending you my Spirit to live within you. I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. He went up to the Father. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry in Jerusalem. And you know the story. While they were in the upper room, while they were praying, waiting for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. And there were cloven tongues that set upon their heads. And every man could hear the word in his own native tongue. And they started staggering around as drunk men. And those without looked in and said, they got to be drunk. But I thank God that the liquor store wasn't open, because it was 9 in the morning. Thank God that the Holy Spirit will take control and make you stagger. The Holy Spirit will take control and make you speak. Won't he do it? Is there anybody in the room got the Holy Ghost? If you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to stand on your feet and open your mouth and give God a praise for sending another comforter, for sending the Holy Spirit, for sending our help, for sending the paraclete. I'm so glad that when I walk from this place, I got the Holy Spirit not only with me, but I got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his all. I want to ask you my question, and then we'll go and get some breakfast. Thank the Lord. All right. How many of you thank God that you serve a living Savior? How many of you thank God that Jesus got up? How many of you thank God that Jesus is not dead? That he's on the right hand of the Father, looking down from heaven, praying on our behalf. If you thank God that Jesus is not dead and Jesus is alive and well, come on and help me holler. Yeah! Yeah! The doors. of the Lord's house stands ajar. You're here today and you're not saved. Believe on him. As the scriptures say, Jesus died. He was buried. God raised him. If you can believe that in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here and you need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come, come, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of God is open. You come and get on your face before God. Because you desire intimacy, closeness with him. That you don't want to go another day, another hour, with space in your fellowship with God. We're in a time that's filled with so many uncertainties. Life itself is uncertain. Salvation is sure, but life is uncertain. And listen, you can be sure of eternal life in the midst of the uncertainty of earthly life. If you would only confess the Lord Jesus Christ, because you believe him in your heart. Come. Come today. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come. 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 Y'all say it now. Come on, help me. Come on. Come on, come on. That's it. The doors of the Lord's house stand to John.
Holy One. Jesus Christ,
the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come on.
Worthy to give his life, I walk the sin of all mankind. Such a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ.
We have Sister Tarana White, who is coming to be a member of the church. Amen. She has already been baptized, and so that says that you know the Lord, and you just want your membership here. Amen. You want to be with us as a family of faith, family of his word. We receive you, but we have an orientation. And we have orientation on Sunday mornings from 9:20 to 10:20. But if you're having complications or difficulties getting here, we have orientation also offered by way of Zoom. But we would rather you be in fellowship. We'll work with you to make sure that you get your orientation. Father, we thank you for this soul that you have sent this way. We understand that she, Lord, has been given to us as responsibility to teach your word, to lead in your way, to help her, Father, experience life and life abundantly. Thank you for sending her. Now, Father, we pray that we be a family, that we will wrap our arms around her, care for her. When she's weak, we're weak. When she hurts, we hurt. When she's strained, we're strained. But you told us the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. We do it in Jesus' name. for your glory and her good. Every heart say amen. Amen. Bless you, baby. Bless you. Bless you. Everyone to your feet if you will. I want Deacon Wells to wave his hand. Amen. So good to see him this morning. He's been out with back surgery. And the Lord has brought him back. Amen. Good to see you today. Amen. May the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Lord, bless the food that we will receive, that it will nourish our bodies, give us strength, that we give that strength in your service for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy One, Jesus Christ, the only one worthy to give.